now we're ready. It's running. So the most important attitude that we'll ever nurture, that we'll ever exhibit, is the attitude of thanksgiving. I'm more convinced of this every day. The attitude that makes the difference is the attitude of being thankful and being grateful.
Amen.
Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, says, make your petitions known. Pray to God for whatever concerns you, whatever troubles you, what you desire, but in everything, give thanks. If we are able, by the grace of God, to cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving in what we do, what we say, what we are about, we will know a life that is at once more challenging and more fulfilling. I saw a cartoon not long ago of a family gathered at the common table for their meal. The father said to the mother, I don't want to complain about the leftovers, but haven't we said grace over this same meal 3 times? He didn't want to complain about the leftovers, but he did. He wanted to give thanks in all things, but he found that it was a little difficult to do. The greatest challenge and opportunity we have is to give thanks in all things.
Amen.
In all things, give thanks. In all things that are obvious, we need to give thanks. So what does this mean? There are some good things so close to home, so obvious, that we forget to give thanks for them.
Amen.
Paul begins this beautiful letter by saying, at every remembrance of you, or every time I think of you, I give thanks for you. The next time you recognize the following thought in our mind, or we hear it say out loud, stop and take notice. It goes without saying, when it comes to thanksgiving, it does not go without saying.
Amen.
We remember the story in the Bible about the 10 lepers that was healed by Jesus. 9 went on their way, never to be saw again. And only one come back, a Samaritan. That the Samaritan knew that it doesn't go without saying. The first opportunity of giving thanks in all things and thus changing our attitude in our lives is to give thanks for the obvious things. These are the people and other blessings so close that we seem to look right past them. Not much wind, but we'll be careful. It is so obvious that we forget to give thanks. The psalm says we are to give thanks for God's benefits. Think for a moment of the benefits being here right now. We can laugh, cry, and sing. These benefits are part of God's wonderful love for us. One of the greatest benefits is being fully alive to give thanks for all of God's benefits. What benefits go unnoticed because they are too obvious? As we have a wonderful young man back here that has came out today to worship the Lord, have we ever given thanks for the wonderful miracle of our body? The great architect said there's been no invention like that of the human hand, and it's true.
Amen.
To be silly, have we ever thought about the way God put our nose on? Suppose that our nose was put on upside down. When we would sneeze, it would blow our hat off. And if it would rain, we would drown.
Amen.
And as silly as that seems, what is even sillier, forgetting to give thanks to God who created this marvelous miracle that our body is. The Bible says that we are wonderfully made, and we are. Although we are wonderfully made, we're too small to cling to all the thankfulness that wells up in us. When we want to thank God, it spills over, and we begin thanking other people. When we're truly thankful to God, we begin to thank other people. We write a note, we make a phone call, we stop a person on a busy day and say, you know, I really appreciate you. Thanksgiving is not a time of the year, but an attitude of the heart that changes people. We are to give thanks in all things, even the obvious things.
Amen.
In all things obscure, give thanks. You may say, Brother Joe may have wondered, what is obscured? Obscure, what does that mean? It means opportunities that are hidden, people that we don't see right away, things that seem of little value until we take a closer look. In this passage, Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, of good report or gracious, think of these things. It means to calculate, stop, and to ponder. Think about them for a while and begin to see that these things, obscure, go beyond our casual seeing.
Amen.
Give thanks for those things that are true. That word is a wonderful word. It means not only that which is true or truth-telling or honest speaking, but also those things that are solid and of lasting substance. It is not what flits away, is here today and gone tomorrow, but the enduring things, to give thanks for friendships that don't just blow away through tough times, and give thanks for many wonderful, long-lasting marriages here in our congregation.
Amen.
Paul says, whatever things are lovely, think of these things. This suggests that whatever people are lovable and amiable, give thanks for them. There is a famous psychologist who says some folks are noxious people. These are the people who seem to make us sick. They're always negative, always pointing out our faults and inconsistencies and the things that we've done wrong. But he says there's also nourishing people, like this group as a whole is very nourishing people in our lives. Give thanks for those who nourish you, who feed you, who are a part of God's gracious plan to build us up.
Amen.
Whatever things are of good report, whatever things are valuable, give thanks for them. Even though you can't see the value at first, meditate, calculate, and reckon. Think of them as they become more clear. Even in those things that are obscure, give thanks. Now, in all things objectionable, give thanks. I've saved the toughest for last, and you all know it. In all things objectionable, give thanks. This is the one in which we have the most difficulty. Do I mean to say I am to give thanks for this tough patch when we're going through it? Am I supposed to give thanks for the thorn in the flesh that doesn't seem to be taken from us? That is a tough one, isn't it? But if we have an attitude of thanks that can transform the situation, we are to give thanks in all things.
Amen.
Quite naturally, you may say, I'm not going to give thanks for this illness, or I'm not going to give thanks for what this person has done to me. Then at least start here. Give thanks for the presence of God in that situation, that God has not left us. Even though we had a setback, God is still present and willing to redeem the situation. Then there's the next step. Begin to realize that even through the worst circumstances, God can work. Isn't the risen, living Christ the great reminder that even the evil of the cross can be transformed into a new and exalted life?
Amen.
I shared with you all last time the story of Corrie Ten Boom. She died after many years of serving the Lord. What a remarkable, gracious lady. She and her family lived through the Nazi Holocaust, and they hid Jewish people in their home who would otherwise have been killed. When she was in the Nazi prison camp, it was such a flea-ridden, terrible place that as a young girl, she couldn't stand it. Her older sister, Betsy, said, "But I have found something in the Bible that can help us. It says, in all things give thanks." She gave thanks for that, but Corrie would not even think of giving thanks for the fleas. Later, they found out that the only reason they were not molested or harmed by the guards was because their captors were so repulsed by the fleas that they would not go in. Give thanks even for the lowly creatures. In the in the town of Enterprise, Alabama, there's a monument in the middle of town square. You'd think that it would be the monument of a Confederate general, but it's not. It's a monument to the boll weevil. The boll weevil is an animal that destroys cotton. That town depended upon cotton. In 1915, the boll weevil destroyed their livelihood. But through this, they learned the importance of diversified farming. They learned to plant peanuts, corn, and other crops. In 2 years, they erected a monument to the boll weevil to be a reminder that through a terrible event, like losing all their crops and their livelihood, good things came to their town. The Old Testament patriarch Joseph said to his brothers, who had sold him to slavery and wanted to kill him, "You meant this to be for evil, but God meant it for good."
Amen.
This is a monument of the power to God to bring good out of apparent evil. God can use the worst of circumstances in this fallen world to bring the best about. You know why we can believe that? Because God certainly did not want to send his son to earth to die on the cross. But when it became necessary, the despised instrument of death became the way we could come to know God. The cross became the means by which we can give thanks in all things, those things obvious, those things obscure, and even objectionable. In everything, we need to give thanks.
Amen.
There is a poem, and it goes along with this short little talk, and the author is unknown. "Today I am thankful for my daily bread, for the Holy Spirit by whom I am led, for the abundance of faith and grace, for Jesus' strength to stay in the race. Today I am grateful to my Father above for his tender mercy, his wonderful love. For his goodness, all he provides, for the power he daily supplies. Lord, today I'm thankful, oh so grateful too, for all you bless me with, for all for me you do." And in Psalms 118, verse 24, we all remember, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And in one final time, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious in anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
Let us pray. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your word. Thank you for making sure it recorded. Thank you for the Holy Spirit guiding the folks that wrote it. Thank you for all these things. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your forgiveness, and your grace. Please continue to lead and guide this amazing congregation in the week ahead. Let us portray these things in our lives that we have heard today. And thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So now, good folks, we're ready for the testimonies and the praises. We can turn this service over to Pastor Mike.
I was watching the news the other night, which is a big mistake, and they were talking about the fires out west, and this woman they were interviewing, which I don't know why they interview some of these folks in times like this, but she looked at the reporter and she said, "You know, I just don't have anywhere to go. I've lost lost everything. And so what Brother Joe says is we take too much for granted, don't we? Those poor folks out there are just in a bad way. And we need to remember them in prayer. Who has something to rejoice about this morning they'd like to share? We're only going to take 5 or 10 minutes with this. All right?
I'll be first.
I'm not a bit surprised that you're going to praise the Lord.
We can depend on her.
Well, I'm glad you're not surprised. That's a testimony in itself.
Amen.
I could just go on and on after Brother Joe's message, as a matter of fact. One thing that I want to say first of all is that we always have so much to be thankful for. And sometimes it's hard to wait for things that we pray for on and on and on and on. But, today, after 50-some years of prayer, I have a husband who has accepted the Lord. And for that, I couldn't be more grateful. God is good. And I wanted to give a quick little analogy to Brother Joe's message, which this is not scriptural, but it certainly is factual. And that is that one day I read on the computer that supposedly somebody had died and gone to heaven, and they were being escorted around to the different rooms in heaven. And so the first one that they went to, the room was just overloaded obstacles up there, and each one was a representation of all the prayers that we send up to God. And the room was just so crowded that the angel and the person couldn't get in there. So they had to look from the doorway. And so the angel explained, these are all the prayer requests that get raised up every day by people that believe. And so then they went on down the hallway just a tad, and they turned into the next room. And the next room was basically empty. It had next to nothing in it. And the person said to the angel, "Well, what's this room all about?" And the angel said, "Well, this is the room that holds all the thank yous that come after the prayers we send." And that made such a visual impact on me that I'm working hard at being more thankful for the things that God has given me and has done for me and is still doing for me and everyone else that I love. And so maybe if you can picture that empty room of no thank yous, maybe it'll help you too.
Thank you, Carol. Very appropriate. How about this? Janice was saying earlier, our church is divided. We got this bunch on this side of the old tree, and we got this bunch over here. So we need to be connected. Remember, we need to be connected. Who's got something to rejoice about?
I've got another one.
We got another one besides Matthew?
Of course. Okay, this is a story about our grandson. On the evening meal, they always tell what they've had good about the day. And Logan said, "Thank you, God, for this dinner. And thank you for letting my dad take me when he went to build fence." And I thought, how sweet that he recognizes that, giving thanks. Now, his dad wasn't too happy. But anyway, I think it took him a little longer to build the fence. But anyway, that's just one, a four-year-old is giving thanks where he should.
Sure. Yeah, hallelujah. I wish I'd have spent more time with my boys and girls.
But we all.
That's where Brother John is today, right? With his son in an outing. And it's hard as fathers and men leading your family spiritually to spread yourself out to your dad and to your children, to your wife, most of all to your Lord. It's hard to keep the balance, isn't it? Yeah, something we need to pray about. Who else has a rejoice? Anybody? Okay.
Come on. How could you not rejoice and look around at this diverse group?
Amen.
And the fellowship that it brings? This is something that charges your battery, or it does mine. each and every Sabbath morning that we are able to join each other. And we do miss several, though. We pray that the others that haven't been coming will come back and join us in these services. They are certainly missing a lot in their lives. And I just praise and thank you for Ida. We're working on 73 years of marriage. And we have really been blessed, I'll tell you. It's not all been easy either.
That's what Ida said.
Isn't that right, Ida?
She won't agree. But it's just wonderful. We have been so blessed. And just this fellowship that we have each day, Sunday morning, as we come and join here and worship. And like I say, it's a diverse group. We all have separate needs and priorities in our lives, and just coming together just solidifies everything. Just praise the Lord. In His name we ask all this. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll be the extra blabby one here today. I had the privilege of having great-grands this week for a few days, and I know Becky and Bill, they're used to that all the time. But, you know, this old girl, man, I just hobbled around and ran every which direction. But one of the days that I had the kids, their Nana, their other grandma, had to go have a doctor's appointment because she had previously had surgery on her larynx, which has been a real problem for her for a number of years. And so we were out on the porch playing on the back porch there, and my daughter Angie was there. So I said, something was said about Nana. And I said, you know what we could do right now is we could send up a prayer for Nana while she's at the doctor's office, that everything will go good and she doesn't have to have any more surgery. Now, these kids are 4 and 6 years old. And so 6-year-old Gabe, he was too shy. He didn't want to pray out loud. But little blonde-haired, blue-eyed Evie, who looks like an angel imposter, she was all ready for it. And she put those little hands together, and she prayed for Nana and asked God to take care of her at the doctor's office and that everything would turn out good so Nana didn't have to go back and get cut on anymore. And boy, it does your heart good to see these little people come to the Lord with that kind of trust. And then when Nana called later and everything had gone very well, they were so glad. And Evie said to me, she said, "See, Mama," she said, "that's what happens when you pray to God and ask Him for stuff like that." Stuff like that. She's 4 years old. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, we're going to be led by our children, right? What Scripture says.
Only to be like a child again.
Right. All right, let's end our service by standing and singing "There's Nothing But the Blood," hymn number 101. 101.
From the burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. Would you be
Ask Ida if she closes in prayer. Would you please?
Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that you have touched our lives, that we have the desire to come out and to worship you, the fellowship, to learn more of your ways, Father. We just ask your forgiveness for things that we say and do that's not pleasing to you. Help us, Father, to lean more on you, to learn more of your ways, Father. Bless each and every one here, their families, all that needs your touch today. You know each and every one's heart, and we just ask for your blessings. And Father, we do just ask you to bless each and every one on our prayer chain, the unspoken, our country, all the homes for the young, the old, the troubled in body, mind, and especially their soul. And we just ask you, Father, and thank you in Jesus' name. We just praise and thank you so much, Lord, for your Son, Jesus the Christ, that we ask and thank you in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I believe.